an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
So third down at 15, play clock down to 2. Winston's in trouble, and Hamilton takes him down. He lost the football. There's a scramble for it, and the Ravens have recovered.
CBS on the call there. That's Kyle Hamilton entering a big season for him in 2025. Remember, first-round draft pick back in 2022. Ravens picked up his fifth-year option, which means it's only a matter of time. It might be longer than that. Before he signs a long-term contract extension here with the Baltimore Ravens, it's NFL Lunch. And why are we talking about Kyle Hamilton? Well, it's never a bad thing to do so. But voting for the top players at each position. And ESPN surveys league executives and scouts and coaches and all of that good stuff. And they're on to safeties today. And coming in at number one at the age of 24 from the University of Notre Dame, got engaged in the offseason. None other than Kyle Hamilton. And Vinny, we can go back to the draft where the concern with Kyle Hamilton was he didn't run with blazing speed, but Ravens got themselves a steal at that time, and the upside is incredible, no doubt about it. But Kyle Hamilton was named today as the number one safety in the NFL by a bunch of people who do that sort of thing.
Bob, shame on a lot of people because, you know, all you got to do is, if you watched him play at Notre Dame, you would have never thought he ran, what, 4.7? You know, and then everybody was like, whoa, you know, and he dropped because he was supposed to go top five. And the Ravens got him at 14. And, you know, I mean, they were lucky that he fell. And I think they ran up to the draft table when he was sitting there because they were going to take, remember, Bob, was that the same year that they were going to take the D tackle from
Georgia?
Georgia, yeah. But Hamilton, he did everything that you saw him do with Mike McDonald and stuff, he did it at Notre Dame. You know, and that's the thing. You know, are you surprised? No. I mean, it's exactly what he did in college. And I don't care. You know, it's like Jerry Rice ran, you know, 4.6 or whatever at the combine. So what? Plays, nobody catches him when you watch him on film. And that was the same thing with Hamilton, you know, coming out of Notre Dame. He plays fast. And that's what happens when, you know, people go to the combine. Oh, man, he doesn't run fast enough. No, but what does the film say? Film says he plays fast. You know, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and he was a good tackler at Notre Dame, and he's gotten bigger, he's gotten stronger, he's gotten better. And I think he's going to have his best year this year.
Memory serves, however, after that draft, Ravens need a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of us, they had just signed Marcus Williams to a free agent contract. Right?
Yep.
It's a luxury pick.
Who was the pass rushers that were available? I don't
recall. The kid that went to the Jets.
Oh, yeah. He dropped down. Yeah. I just think this. I think Eric probably said it. They had Hamilton rated in the, you know, top 10. You know, they went by their board on that one, and I'm guessing they did. And they probably were happy as hell about that he fell to them. I mean, just like Malachi Starks, you know. I mean, should the Bengals have taken him? They needed a safety more than anybody, and they didn't. They took a project at 18. But with Hamilton, he is going to be the top paid safety in the league, bar none.
Jermaine Johnson was the guy that was linked to the Ravens, and, you know, watching the draft that night, he was available. They need a pass rusher, and, you know, he fell, made the Pro Bowl, so he certainly worked out for New York. Jordan Davis went right before the Ravens, 13 to Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I was scared that they were going to take him. you know, big D tackle. Thing I didn't like about him was he's just a run player only. And, yeah, and the thing with Kyle Hamilton was, and Bob, I mean, how bad was he early, Kyle? He was not good early. Remember that? You know, against Miami and some of those. He was getting toasted. And then he kind of got the feel for what it was. He was able to play fast. He wasn't thinking, and that's what it took. And now he is what everybody is looking for.
Now, the upside, you mentioned Malachi Starks taken in the first round this year out of Georgia. The upside is what for him? Got to be an immediate impact guy? Or is there a little pressure off of him somewhat because of everything else you have surrounding you in the defensive backfield?
Well, I think he's going to reap the benefits from the people around him. I think he's getting 6+ interceptions this year. That's what I think. Malachi Starks, he plays like a veteran. He does not act like a rookie. He studies. You know, he's tough. He can tackle. I think he's going to be. And you can say what you want. Well, you know, not having a Darius Washington. Hell, he wasn't going to start. Starks was still be starting. That was like, are you kidding me? You know, it's not even in the same conversation. You know, so I think Starks is. I think those two, they can stay healthy. It's going to be the best two safety combination in the league. And it's not going to be close because Hamilton is so much better than everybody. I mean, he's tall. He can play in a slot. You know, he can blitz. He's a great blitzer, you know, because he can rush the passer and stuff. So, I mean, and Malachi Starks can play center field. He is like Geno Stone had the 8 picks just sitting back there in center field. And Malachi Starks is such a better football player than Geno Stone, and he's got ball skills too, like Geno. So I expect him to make a lot of plays for them back there.
Kyle Hamilton voted the number one safety in the NFL heading into 2025 by ESPN. Mets up 1-0 over the Orioles as Taylor doubles in Beatty. So Charlie Morton trying to keep him in the game, and he is, quite frankly. It's only 1-0. A little offense be nice for the Orioles. Got the American League East report coming up here in a minute. Let's get out to the phones, though. Go to Trey and Joppa. Trey, what's happening?
Man, I got to say something about Kyle Hamilton. And I love Kyle Hamilton, guys, but I can't call him the best safety in the NFL. Let me tell you why.
Who are you calling? Hamilton. Who are you calling?
I like Xavier McKinney. I think he plays for Green Bay. Led the league in interceptions last year. I like homeboy in Detroit. Can't think of his name.
Branch.
He had about 8 interceptions.
Branch.
Branch
was second, and McKinney was third, by the way.
But, guys, Kyle Hamilton doesn't impact the ball enough. He doesn't get his hands on the football, Vinny. I need more interceptions, passes defended. His best plays, it's funny, everybody says we got to get Kyle Hamilton back to the, 2023? When he was blitzing, what is he, outside linebacker? Like, I'm not.
No, he was playing in the slot. He was in the slot.
But he wasn't playing man-to-man, Vinny. We wanted him well. What we always say? We want him going forward.
Yes, he was. He was playing man-to-man in the slot.
What did Travis Kelce do to him in the playoff game? First drive of the game.
Oh, let me just say that. Let me just say this. And you can even listen to Travis Kelce, you know, talk after. He said he's never been so well covered. I mean, Kelce made great plays. You know, I mean, you couldn't have covered him any better than he had Kelce covered on most of those plays.
You don't get called the best safety in the league for tackling. I can't think of a safety that's ever been called the best safety in the league and his best attribute was tackling. Now, Kyle Hamilton might be the best open field tackler in the NFL. But when we talk about getting hands on the football, like, why do we need to bring him closer to the line of scrimmage if he's a good safety? Nickels, you don't get called the best safety in the league for playing nickel. You get called the best safety in the league for playing in the deep part of the field. That's all I'm saying when it comes to that. I don't know. The Ravens are going to have a problem with paying him because he don't play the position of safety. When he's back there deep, he is not as noticeable as he is when closer to the line of scrimmage in the nickel. But he's not going to get paid top nickel money.
Let me just say this.
Hey, thanks, Trey. Hey, no problem.
When Kyle Hamilton this past season went back to the middle of the field. What happened to that defense? Got a hell of a lot better, you know? That's the only thing I'll say. He can play center field. He can play up close. But to take advantage of his skills, you know, you want him closer to the... I mean, they're going to be playing a lot. They're going to have one linebacker on the field, you know, a nickel and dime. And they're going to be playing, what, seven DBs?
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, American League East report. Orioles right now trail the Mets 1-0. Top of the fifth, Oriole Park, Camden Yards, game one of this doubleheader. Orioles did make a trade as well. Brian Baker going to Tampa for the 37th pick in the upcoming draft. Talk about what happened last night, look at tonight's schedule, and also look at the updated standings. Then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk about all things sports with him because he does a national show, and he's really smart. I mean, we're going to learn something today.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, speaking of the AL East, right now the Orioles trail the New York Mets 1-0. Bottom of the fifth, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Charlie Morton's pitching well. Unfortunately, Peterson's pitching a little bit better. The Orioles not really providing, well, any run support. It's zero. Zero plus zero equals zero. As the Birds try to win today and then make it maybe a winnable series later in the afternoon. If they lose the opener, obviously they lose the series and lament what got away from them a couple of nights ago as Brian Baker struggled. But Brian Baker, don't have him to pick on anymore. Just tuning into the show, he was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays for the 37th pick. In the upcoming draft, the Orioles have the 19th, 30th, 31st, and 37th pick in the first round. Well, by a competitive balance, I guess that counts. That's all happening next week, and we'll see what Mike Elias does in regards to addressing the 19th pick and possibly adding some arms. And I said it, Tony Pentee said it. Hey, draft a high school guy, let him develop, bring him up through the ranks and see how things work out for you there. But Orioles right now, 1-0, trailing the Mets downtown Baltimore, bottom of the fifth, Coby Mayo at the plate. Last night, in the division yesterday, White Sox taking on the Blue Jays. Blue Jays red hot. All of a sudden, the White Sox cooled them off a little bit.
Lifted in the air to left field. And it's going to drop in front of Loperfido. Carroll's going to be waved in. The throw is cut off. And the Sox take their first lead of the ball game.
Sosa with the ribby there. Chicago scores two runs in the fourth. And that was all they needed. Hauser was outstanding. For Chicago, seven innings pitched, seven hits, strikeouts galore, improved to 5-2 with a 156. 2-1 was the final as Toronto's 10-game winning streak comes to an end. Also in the division last night, Tampa Bay Rays taking on the Tigers, and a guy that's been hitting home runs hit another one last night for Tampa.
And he gets into one, into deep left field. Let home run derby begin, and the Rays lead 7-3 on number 22 by Caminero.
That's number 22, as you heard from Caminero, Rays radio on the call. 7-3 was the final score. Zach Littell, we were just talking about him yesterday, picked up his eighth win of the year. Tampa was 6-14 with runners in scoring position, scored four runs in the sixth to cool off those Tigers just a little bit. Yankees taking on the Mariners. We were talking about this earlier. And Aaron Judge and Raleigh, yeah, they're part of the fun. But last night, it was another all-star for New York making some noise with his bat.
Drill deep to right field. There it goes. See ya. A bullet home run by Chisholm. A two-run shot. And the Yankees lead 6-2.
I hear Chisholm. I keep thinking of John Wayne. Remember the movie Chisholm? Anyway, Jazz Chisholm, that is. Two homers, four ribbies. Aaron Judge drove in two himself as Schlitzel, right?
Are you looking at it or are you not?
I'm trying. I wrote it down phonetically.
I mean, no, you couldn't do Higashioka either, so yeah, I guess right. It's Schlitler.
Schlitler. He picks up his first win for New York last night. First career win as he goes 5+ as the Yankees beat the Mariners 9-6. New York's quietly put together a little 3-game winning streak here. Well, it's not a winning streak until you get to 4. They've won 3 in a row. And then the Red Sox. Yeah, well, they're doing the Rockies what teams should do to the Rockies. And a guy who's got the same last name as Manos DiPietro's was bat of stone last night.
is a drive. Sock to right. This one's way, way back. That's gone. That's a three-run homer for Jaren Duran. He homers in consecutive games, and it's another runaway for the Red Sox.
It's crazy. 10-2 was the final score. Nesson on the call. Duran, three-run shot. Gonzalez, Abreu, and Navarez also go deep. Lucas Giolito goes six shutout innings and six strikeouts as the Red Sox win handily. But Duran appears to be a guy that could be had via trade for the right deal. The Athletic, as a matter of fact, put together their big board of tradable players. And Duran and Trevor Story are kind of near the top of the list. So here's Boston. We get to the standings in a second. They're on fire. And here they are maybe selling just a little bit as some of their young players have made it up to the Major League ranks. Standings, by the way, in the division. You got Toronto 2.5 up on the Yankees. Yankees have won 3 in a row, as we said. Tampa's 4 back. Boston now winners of 6 in a row, 8 of their last 10. They've moved to with 5.5 out. The Orioles still 12.5 back. Tigers still have a commanding lead in the Central, 13 up on both Minnesota and KC. Royals have won 4 in a row out West. Houston 6.5 up on Seattle. In the National League, Phillies now a half game up on the Mets, who lead the Orioles right now, 1-0. Let's see, Chicago's game and a half up on the Brujas. Brewers have won 4 in a row in the NL Central. Dodgers have lost 6 in a row. They still lead the division by 5, but L.A., their longest losing streak in quite some time, scuffling there in mid-July heading into the All-Star break in the NL West. Joining us next from Fox Sports Radio, talks of baseball, NFL, less than 2 weeks away from training camp. It's Mike Harmon, and then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw, and then Inside Access takes over at 2. It will keep you up to date on the Orioles. Mets have a runner on second, top of the 6th. From Swollen Dome, from I Want Your Plex, and from Fox Sports Radio, joins us every Thursday. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in our friend and yours, Mike Harmon. Mike, what's happening?
Traveling the Virginia highways, keeping an eye on the O's and the Mets because, you know, I have a vested interest on both sides of that. Obviously, the love with you guys and everything and the hatred towards Jason Smith and the New York Mets. So, you know. All of that.
It is what it is. And sometimes your allegiances can only go so far, but it does give you some sort of interest, as you said, in the game. Now, since we start with baseball, the LA Dodgers still in first place where they've resided for the better part of a decade in the NL West, but they've come a cropper here all of a sudden. 6-game losing streak. Offense has kind of taken a hike on them. So what are we seeing from LA? They still have a nice lead 5 games up. In the division, is this the sleeping giant just waiting to get healthy, or are the injuries starting to maybe take their toll a little bit there?
Well, I think last year we watched them put things together with a little bubble gum, duct tape, and just mirrors to kind of show the pretty parts. So now you're at a point where I don't know that you can do that. That lightning can strike twice where every managerial move that Dave Roberts makes is going to be the right one, like it was a year ago. So now you're playing with fire, and when a couple of your big bats have been more or less absent over the course of the year, Mookie Betts has been struggling, you know, that you're trying to figure out how to make the most of it, as I apologize for my my navigation system trying to get us back into proper form here.
We want to make sure you don't get lost into the make and counting line, if I'm taking a reference from a 70s movie way back when. Let's shift gears to NBA, if you don't mind. The Summer League starts and local interest here. Derek Queen, he'll make his debut coming up in a couple of hours for New Orleans. But you got, you know, Cooper Flagg's going to get his thing done. Is there still a lot of attention because they're playing the Lakers on Bronny James for Summer League action, 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN if you're looking to watch it. Is this maybe the most ballyhooed Summer League game we've seen in quite some time?
Since probably LaMelo Ball and before that, the Zion Williamson and everything, I would agree. It's been a minute since we've really had a lot of hype. Last year, it was mostly people with the poison pens ready to attack anything Bronny James couldn't do. I keep calling him LeBronny. But it's Bronny James couldn't. You know, a lot of the interest in Lakerland isn't so much with the Summer League stuff. It's just trying to make sense of what LeBron is or isn't trying to pull in the background of it all.
DeAndre Ayton asked, had he heard from LeBron? He's like, no, but I got a nice message from Luka. And we know LeBron back home a little bit, all of that. So rumors swirling, but, you know, would have been a lot easier if he didn't opt into that $52 million deal to just get on and over. I don't know if he's looking for a massive buyout, because I think that's the only way most of the would-be contenders would come anywhere near him. I mean, you're not giving up the amount of assets that it would take to match a $53 million offer sheet. But, yeah, the summer league stuff is fun just because we do get all those pokes in one spot, and we know chaos can happen there, still waiting on another seven-teamer to come down the pipeline.
Hey, Mike, fantasy football-wise, who are the candidates that are going to be going early in the draft?
It's the usual suspects. I don't know that we've had a whole lot of change up at the top.
McCaffrey can't be up there again, can he?
Well, you know what? People are fickle that way. You know what? Because I love you, I'll actually pull up the early sheet for you. you know, it's we tend to stick with what we dance with who brung us, right? I mean, that's generally the rule of thumb. I think you're seeing a lot more of the wide receivers in the first round or so, because the risk of injury a little bit lower, and with more leagues gravitating towards the PPR style, that it makes sense here. In terms of right now, if you were to go half PPR, McCaffrey comes in sixth or seventh at running back. Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs are the going away top three, and then you decide how much you love Jeanty. Mm-hmm. He's consensus fourth. I think that might be a little bit high, but that's fine. And then Derrick Henry coming in fifth, and then it's Achane versus McCaffrey. Achane for the fact that after getting rid of Jonnu Smith and seemingly being rudderless, that the Dolphins will have no choice but to tuck it in and hope he runs a lot.
All right, Mike, who's going to be your surprise team this year?
Wow. You know, since it is, you know, what is it, July 10th or 11th?
Yes.
It's a little bit further along in my my timeline than I normally am with the NFL at this point. But, you know, everybody's on board New England. I can't do that. People looking for Geno Smith to somehow be a savior with Jeanty there in Las Vegas. No. I think the Dallas Cowboys, even though they were 7-10 a year ago, I think folks are looking to bury Dak Prescott at every turn. So they may surprise, because Washington's not going to win the same level of one-score games, one would think. Philadelphia, they look loaded for bear again. Is Saquon Barkley going to be able to replicate what he did a year ago? I think a little bit of a pullback there. So there's an opportunity. And then the Arizona Cardinals to me are fascinating. Why? Because Kyler Murray's as tall as I am, so I have to cheer for him. But beyond that is, you know, investing heavily on defense, a full year in offseason with Marvin Harrison Jr. I've got a two-headed monster in the backfield. I think that their team may be opportunistic here. They were 8-9 a year ago. San Francisco, maybe a little too obvious at 6-11 for a bounce back. Too good a structure and scheme to be bottom feeders. And you got to think that the injury bug goes and finds somebody else.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Plex is the podcast. Real quick, last thing, fantasy football. You mentioned sleepers. And I know Patrick Mahomes has a beer belly like I do. I don't know how he got it, but it is what it is, even though he's trying to tone that thing up a little bit. But what if I wanted to dance with Hollywood Brown as a possible sleeper here in 2025? Injury plague last year. If he's healthy, we know he's fast. We're expecting the Mahomes howitzer to come back out of retirement. What do you think about old Hollywood's prospects for this year?
I think I'm on board with what you're laying down there. A guy you're going to be able to get at great value as well. I mean, he's going as a back end fifth wide receiver in fantasy drafts. I think he could certainly go over the top there. You know, Kansas City is an interesting squad, right? You can't pick them as, you know, on the come or any of that stuff. You know, even though people tried to dismiss them a year ago, you had your shot and you all missed. And now they come back in theory healthy. We'll see what happens with Rice in terms of a suspension. But everything else, they retooled the interior of that offensive line. Kelce dropped 25 pounds since he's not on the Euro Tour, eating, you know, Haagen-Dazs and and drinking, you know, great Bavarian beer and eating pretzels and all. So he's back. So he should be better, even if he's, again, as old as I am at this point. But, yeah, I think I'm on board that Hollywood train. One or two other guys deep down in those markers. As you go through, I mean, Cooper Kupp in Seattle, he'll be forgotten since he's not on the shiny toy kind of squad. And then Michael Pittman Jr., just missed Indianapolis. Yeah, quarterback concerns, but someone's got to catch the ball.
Mike Harbin, Fox Sports Radio, SwallowDome.com. I want your flex. Mike, always appreciate your time. Be careful through Virginia, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Peace and love, boys. We'll be back home there. Now go beat the Mets, please.
Not looking good right now. There's Mike Harmon, everybody. Jackson Holliday just got picked off first. You got Westberg at the plate. Two outs, bottom of the sixth. Orioles trail one zip. We'll come back, get you updated on that one, and we'll take a trip through the funhouse before Inside Access takes over at 2. Orioles and Mets doubleheader. Birch trying to win the opener here. Get Charlie Morton off the hook. He deserves better than an L. And until they put some runs on the board here, that's exactly what he's looking for or looking at, and could be pitching his way out of Baltimore in a good way. You know, we thought he was pitching his way out of Baltimore in May because he sucked. Now he's going to get sent away because he could get them a prospect. Orioles get through the top of the seventh. Let's get a little run action going on here. Nolan, we've been asking people since 11 to vote. Featured Artist Friday, what have the people chosen?
Should turn my mic on. Featured artist for tomorrow is Eric Clapton.
All righty.
You sound thrilled by that.
It's a...
Like every Thursday when I announce Featured Artist Friday.
Lay down Sally. Layla. You know, he stole George Harrison's wife from him, by the way. I'll explain that to you tomorrow for those who aren't into rock and roll trivia or stories of legend of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people before we make way for Inside Access?
So frustration there with Jackson Holliday getting picked off in the last inning, maybe ending a potential chance to score. That means he's now been caught stealing 9 times this season. Matt Weirich has this on Twitter. Tied for the most in Major League Baseball with the Royals, Michael Garcia.
9 times. Little Ferris Bueller for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's been absent 9 times, which, by the way, is bad. That's a bad thing. You're not Ricky Henderson over there. We just talked to Mike Bord a couple of hours ago. That clock, first base, doesn't seem to have the instincts to get it done, and you're not the fastest guy on the field. But Peterson did make a hell of a pickoff throw. He just kind of just snap-throwed him, and he was meat, and he was out. No controversy in regards to that one.
Right. So 9 caught stealing, 9 stolen bases on the year. A guy that we thought could have potential future, I mean, maybe pushing 30-30.
Possibly.
I mean, I thought the harder part was going to be the home run part of it. Now it's looking like the harder part might be the base running.
He'll still be 2020 probably this year. Let's not forget he is 21.
Yeah,
he didn't turn 22 until the summer, so let's not dub him the worst boneheaded base runner of all time.
Well, it's bigger
that
than,
was a boneheaded move.
Right? It's bigger than him. I think my frustration with this entire team when it comes to stealing bases, base running in general, I mean, I just don't get it. And year after year, it'll be interesting to see what the new manager next year has to say in spring training. But for the last 3 years, it seems like Brandon Hyde, every spring, oh, we're going to run more. We're going to be more active on the base pass, going to have to do damage there. And we're sitting here at almost the trade deadline, and Jorge Mateo still leads this team in stolen bases. And he hasn't played in over almost 2 months.
I think they have run more than old Manzo, with Manzo, than they did with Hyde. But, you know, it's hard to have a bunch of people running around the bases when no one's getting on base.
Pretty good.
That could be a problem.
Right.
Still, so Mateo leads it with 14. I just had to get it in there. Mullins has 11.
Right.
Mateo's played 31 games, excuse me.
In reality, I mean, Holliday should have like 15. You know, a year from now, you're hoping that, you know, he's learned how to steal bases much better.
If Mateo could hit 250 and have like a 350 on-base percentage, he'd lead the American League in stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
That's how dangerous he is. But unfortunately, he hasn't shown an ability to do that. And now, again, dealing with an injury, this time a hammy. All right, let's go to Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says, being able to trade these competitive balance picks has added a new level of excitement to Major League Baseball and trading in general. I wish all picks in baseball were able to be swapped. Could really juice things up with transactions as GMs try to decide between prospects and picks. Plus, it could lead to more moves earlier in this year, earlier in the season. Teams try to get a pick for the current year's draft instead of waiting for next.
Yeah, baseball was always late to the party in that regard. But all draft picks. Now, who's got that? We don't know. Number one pick this year is who? Because it's not the White Sox. But either way, whoever has the number one pick, they can't trade that now?
No, you can only trade competitive balance.
Okay, which is what the Orioles did today with Tampa. Yeah, put it all on the table. Let's make this chess game a little harder than it already is.
Nationals pick first, by the way.
Oh. Draft's not fixed.
You're going to need it.
With no GM, by the way. Have fun.
Last text of the day says, I guess I understand the hesitancy with Grayson Rodriguez because he's been so injury prone and you want to protect him. But if he's going to get hurt, well, he's just going to get hurt. If he goes down in September this year, spring next year, July next year, doesn't really matter to me. He shouldn't be locked into a rotation spot anyway. You need to build a group of five without him. Anything he actually gives you a bonus.
I'm kind of on board with the texter there. And maybe, just maybe, when it's all said and done, he might be best suited for a bullpen role. Not like middle relief, high leverage, closer sort of things. We've seen it happen before. Starters transition into outstanding closers. Look at Zach Britton for the Orioles. And it became an all-star doing that. Dennis Eckersley did it. Even John Smoltz did it. Hall of Famer from the rotation to the bullpen. You know, health is first paramount for Grayson. Then figure out his role after that. But yeah, to the Texas point, Elias needs to bring in a couple of starting pitchers because the way these guys drop like flies, you can't just go, there's my five in February and expect to be your five by June, much less late September. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Featured Artist Friday. Don't forget tomorrow at noon, ripping it with Ryan, get his thoughts on the Baker trade and everything going on with the Orioles. Right now, still trailing 1-0 against the Mets game one of this doubleheader. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.